Welcome to the Uplifters Podcast. I'm Aranza Savas, and every week I bring you the story of an inspiring woman and her game-changing journey, whether it's in life or in business, and oftentimes both. This week, I'm doing none of those things. Instead, I'm bringing you my favorite human on the entire planet, sharing about a really extraordinary adventure he went on last week. Him. Yes, I said him. It's my dear, sweet husband, Andy Savas, the man who lifts me up every day and who brings my life immeasurable joy. He also happens to be a 13-time Emmy-winning producer, WABC Television in New York City. He's been there for over 20 years, doing all sorts of exciting and interesting work with all sorts of exciting and interesting people. And every once in a while, he gets an assignment to travel for work. The past few times, it's been to produce the Oscars. But this time, they called him overseas to Rome to cover the conclave. And we got so many questions from folks about that experience and about what it was like to be in this historic moment while it was happening. And so we're throwing the whole format up in the air this week and bringing Andy on to share his story. Andy, thank you so much for joining me from downstairs.
It was really hard to get here.
Take us back to when you got this call. What did you know about the conclave? What did you know about like papal processes? Is that even a phrase? I don't know.
I basically knew nothing. We knew that Pope Francis had passed away and that the cardinals had gathered for his funeral, and that very soon after that, they were going to announce the conclave and then vote for his successor. So it's this kind of dichotomy. You've got this sad passing of this very revered leader, but you also have this traditional process to find the next leader of the 1.4 billion Catholics worldwide. So we had sent a crew over to cover the funeral for Francis. And then soon after that, they announced the date of the conclave, Wednesday, May 7th. And our station decided to send a different reporter over, Joe Torres, over. Joe has already covered two conclaves. This would be his third. So obviously that spans a long time. It's not like a presidential election that happens every 4 years. This is only when a pope dies. So they were sending him. And then soon after that, I got the call from the bosses that said, we'd like you to go with Joe. And not only that, I found out that my good friend, former roommate, Brian White, was going to be our photographer editor.
And that all happened on Saturday or Sunday. And then you guys left on Monday. And so it was like a really quick turnaround. So we did the most important thing, which was research and watch the movie Conclave.
Yeah, we had to watch the movie Conclave. Which was a really good indicator of the process. In fact, we even produced a piece on the fact versus fiction of the movie and what the reality was, because so many people had watched Conclave.
I want to hear about all the differences about everybody, but let's just take this step by step here. So you guys didn't know how long you were going for, right?
Yeah. One of the interesting things is that you know when it starts, but you don't know when it ends. In the past, there's been conclaves that have gone past 3 years. I mean, modern conclaves have traditionally been shorter, but you really don't know. I mean, it's not up to us. It's up to the electors. It's up to the cardinals that are sequestered. All we knew is the date that it started. And after that, it's anybody's guess.
Wow. Yeah. We made jokes in the house about our kids are freshmen and juniors trying to make it back before they finish college. Because we really didn't know what would happen here. You could have been gone for 2 days, or you could have been gone for weeks or months for that matter.
I mean, you're just kind of like, I'm going to throw as much as I can into a suitcase.
You just sort of made your best guesses and got on a plane without really much time to think about it.
Yeah, it was very quick. We got on the plane on Monday, and right off the bat, we ran into issues. The flight was delayed. That normally wouldn't be a big deal, except we knew that our time was ticking. Like, we knew that right off the gate, we were going to be running as soon as we got there. This was already cutting into our time. So we took off on Monday, May 5th, arrived in Rome on Tuesday, May 6th, and ran to the hotel, dropped off our bags, put the gear into another cab, and zoomed off to what's called the College of North American Cardinals. It's on the edge of Vatican City. And that's where we were expected to talk to Cardinal Timothy Dolan, the Archbishop of New York. And by all accounts, he's kind of like a big deal. He's a big deal in New York. But even on the international setting, he's gained a lot of respect. So we ran up to the College of North American Cardinals. This is a beautiful campus. It's on one of like the seven hills overlooking Vatican City. So it's one of the high points, and you go up there and your breath is taken away because we're on the roof and you're just looking not only at Vatican City, but Rome. You can see all the big buildings, and instantly you're just blown away by the history of this great city. And then out walks Cardinal Dolan, and just this jovial giant of a man who knows everybody. And he knows Joe. He's putting his arm around Joe and he's saying, "Joe, I'm the kids," and you know, just talking. So we got some really great insight about going into the conclave. We were trying to press him if he had anybody in mind as a single candidate. He's a seasoned guy. He wouldn't talk, you know, he wouldn't reveal anything. But he did tell us he's had two or three people on his short list. Now that was interesting. The other thing he talked about was, so when the cardinals go in and they're sequestered, there's not much to do. Their phones are taken away, their computers, anything, any kind of electronic link to the outside world is taken away because they don't want them to be influenced by anything going on. Just like you can see in the movie Conclave, the voting takes a long time. Each cardinal writes down on a slip of paper who they want. Then they walk up to these three guys that are sitting in front and they say a prayer and they say, "This is my vote," and they drop it in and then they walk back. And we're not talking like spry young guys. I mean, these are like, a lot of them are up there in age. So there's a lot of downtime, and there's 133 cardinals that have to vote.
Wow.
So that's a long time, this process. So he was telling us that he had, you know, a book that he would keep with him. And we're like, "What book were you?" And he brought the biography of Michelangelo. So he was reading that in between votes. Also, they're each keeping a scorecard. They're writing down a tally. They're checking off, okay, this guy got this many votes, this guy got this many votes. But it's all very mechanical. There's nothing computerized about it. So we finished the interview with him, and then it was jump into a taxi, run off to Vatican City, because now we've got to find our live location. So we worked with ABC Network. They set up three spots within Vatican City, one right in St. Peter's Square, one kind of back. And then they had set up inside a building that overlooks St. Peter's Square. So we checked out each location and we ran into one of the buildings and started crafting a piece for the news that night based on our interview with Cardinal Dolan. And then went live from there. And that was the end of Tuesday. So it's just like right away, there was just no time to eat. I didn't eat for 3 days. It was all just kind of like, just going on adrenaline. It was so intense. So one of the things to keep in mind is that Rome is 6 hours ahead of New York time. So I kept my watch on Eastern time and my phone was glued to the to Rome time. So I could keep track because we had to make deadline for the shows in New York. It was dizzying just trying to remember, okay, it's 11 o'clock at night, but it's the 6 o'clock show that we're on, you know, back in New York. Went back to the hotel, grabbed a few hours of sleep. We had to be back up fairly soon because we had to set up for the morning show that begins at 4:30 in the morning. And keep in mind that we were live several times during the show. So there's a 5 o'clock hit, a 5:30 a.m. hit, a 6 o'clock a.m., a 6:30 a.m. Each time we had to present something different for Joe to say. So we had all these facts coming in fast and furious. We had access to the AP wires. But also ABC News is like rifling off emails like left and right because they had a whole team just pumping out information. So it's constantly checking your phone and then trying to funnel that information into something concise and clear that Joe could present each hit. And he's a master at doing that. I mean, it was incredible to watch how he operates, but he's able to take that information and then memorize it, keep it in his head, and each hit so clearly and professionally, like he had been writing this down for years. Really, he had just been doing it the few minutes before.
What were you seeing throughout the day that was feeding you guys inspiration about what to report on?
Yeah, so really the main thing that was inspiring was the people in St. Peter's Square. So there's this massive area in front of St. Peter's Cathedral, and the people were just out there, and there's just so many. So our trick was trying to find people from the United States to talk to us, English speakers. Kind of have to lose your inhibitions and just kind of go, who's American? You start looking for people with Yankees hats and Mets hats because there's a good shot that they are people from New York. And you're just going, who can speak English? Who's American? Because while the conclave is going on, there's also a jubilee for the church. So there's all these pilgrims from across the world, and a lot of them are coming from the United States. So we were lucky in that because we were able to interview them. So there's a good steady stream of people from the United States that we could talk to, but it was just calling it out and trying to, you talk to them and you're just, oh my gosh, it's amazing that you're here. Do you mind going live, you know, or talking to us on tape for New York City? And usually they would say yes. On Wednesday, May 7th, the conclave began. That's when the cardinals are gathered into the Sistine Chapel. There's an elaborate ceremony, and basically one of the church officials goes, everybody out. And he says that in Latin, right? And that's the kind of sign that that is not a cardinal or the limited amount of people that can be inside the Sistine Chapel have to get out. And then they close the doors, and there's just kind of this moment where you just hear the boom. And then that's it. You don't know exactly what's going on. So now it becomes this waiting game. So that happened about 11:45 a.m. on Wednesday. So about 5:45 Roman time. So then you start waiting. So we're out in St. Peter's Square waiting for like signs of hope. And as we're waiting, the crowd is just gathering and gathering. And the eerie thing about that was it was thousands and thousands of people, right? And quiet. Like it was like when thousands of people like that are at a football game, it's thunderous. It was like so quiet despite all those people there because everybody's just reverent and hushed and listening and waiting. And it was just so bizarre. So we anticipated smoke on that night, and 99% of everybody's like, it's going to be black smoke on the first night because you're basically thinking they're going to take like a preliminary vote, right? They're just getting a feel of where everybody's at. So everybody's thinking black smoke, but there was no smoke, and it's getting later and it's getting later. The later this gets, the stranger this comes because that vote should have been kind of fast. So when the smoke happens, it's actually two rounds of voting. Or possibly two rounds of voting. But if they choose a pope, then it can be on the first round of voting. If they have 89 votes, I think was the amount needed to put them over the top, fine. They'll do the white smoke. But if they don't reach a consensus, then they take another round of vote. And then after two votes, that's when they tear up the votes, they put them into the chimney, and they burn them. And then if the Pope has not been elected, they put a special chemical in and that emits the black smoke. So it's really two votes already, but it was going late and late and late. We're turning to each other. We're like, this is very odd. It should have happened by now. It went until 9 o'clock Roman time, which is very late. And then the black smoke came and it's definitely black. Like you can tell. So there's a camera that is situated zoomed in on the chimney of the Sistine Chapel. So everybody's watching that. The smoke comes off. And then once it was black, the crowd kind of just swooshes out because that's it. That's done. And they're getting ready for tomorrow. So smoke goes out. Then we had to run back to the live location, do our notes, coordinate with the people back in New York to see if we can get video turned around, and then go live again. Because that point is 3 o'clock Eastern. We have to be ready. Our first show is at 4 o'clock Eastern time. So we don't have much time. It's a big rush again. There was some 45,000 people in St. Peter's Square that night. So a lot of people. And we're going live for the morning show again. Basically, by the time we were done with everything, we got back to the hotel. It's 2 o'clock a.m., 2:30 a.m. Rome time. I hit the bed. I woke up. It was like instantaneous. It was already time to get up, wolf down some breakfast, and again, back to Vatican City for the for live shots throughout the morning. That morning, the next round of smoke came very quickly. So we were surprised because we were like, wow, you know, they took their time with the first one. I wonder if it's going to go long. It happened very quick. So another two rounds of voting happened. So what does that mean? What does that tell you? I mean, you're starting to play games.
And nobody knows what's happening in the inside. Yeah, so you have to just make it up, basically. Like, in theory, it could be this.
Yeah, you're just going on your hunches because I think Pope Francis and Pope Benedict were elected on, I think, either the fourth round or the fifth round. So now we're getting up there. You're on round four already. So we're like, okay, so what does that mean? It's somebody's game. Maybe they've decided. Turn around, do a live shot for the noon show. And we're talking about the black smoke that we had just, you know, seen just minutes earlier. And we're talking about how after that smoke, they had broken for lunch. So we just finished our live report and it's 12:07 and my photographer, Brian, he goes, I see smoke. And we're like, oh my gosh. And I look and I see the smoke. They've got huge jumbotrons showing this close up of the smoke. And I look at the smoke and I go, ooh, that's white smoke. I think that's white smoke. They're like, no, wait, it could be gray, you know, like when they first burn the ballots and it's usually gray, then it's just, I'm like, no, that's white smoke. That's white. And it kept coming. And it was really thick and white. And I'm like, that's it. And then seconds later, the bells start chiming. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. And then I'm telling you, people from everywhere just flooded. They're running down the streets and pouring into safety. It was just this mass of people and they're so excited, taking pictures and snapping selfies, and they're shouting, they're screaming, and they're just pouring into the square. It was a rush.
Wow. That had to have been electric. And they didn't even know who it was, right? They were just excited that somebody had been named.
Yeah. You have no idea who it is. You just know that they decided on a pope. So you have no idea who it is. And you talk about electric rants. I'm telling you, like, you can't help but be swept up in the emotion of the moment because people are so joyous. I mean, it's like once in a generation that this happens. And it was a rush, just a rush. So now the white smoke comes on. Joe and Brian immediately have to get ready for network because ABC Network immediately went into what we call special coverage. They just went, they took over. So they're broadcasting, they're like, okay, it's the white smoke. We see the new pope, you know, soon, you know, it's going to happen. So while they're up on a fixed position on this riser, I grab my iPhone and I just start going into the crowd. I just start videotaping with an iPhone, just like the rush of people running through the screen. And I start running with them, right? Capturing the, like, this moment. And I'm going back and forth to the riser so I can get that video, feed it, because we had a Wi-Fi signal back at the platform. So I have to run down, run back, feed my video where we had Wi-Fi, get that video and those still pictures back, and then run back and get some more.
And by this time, we still don't know it's an American pope.
You don't know who it is. Oh, it was just so joyous, though, because not only are the bells ringing, right, and the people surging, but then all of a sudden this pomp and circumstance begins. These bands, all dressed up in this regal attire, they start playing with their musical instruments and their long horns are blowing, you know, they're marching down and the soldiers are marching down. And it's just waves of like pomp and circumstance coming. So it's just adding to this atmosphere, right? So eventually, about an hour after the white smoke, the dean of the Cardinals comes out from the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica, comes out this balcony, and he says the words, Habemus Papam. Okay, I butchered the Latin, I'm sure. Habemus Papam. We have a pope. And everybody goes nuts and cheers, and they're like, it's really happening, right? But you still don't know who it is. So then he goes behind, and you just anticipate he's building and building, and people are cheering. There are crowds of people are waving different flags of their countries. You know, will it be Italy, Peru, Thailand, the Philippines? And then they're singing, like, at times they were singing songs that sounded like being in a European football game. And then he emerges. He comes out.
The actual Pope comes out, like the new guy?
The actual Pope comes forward. And so you don't know who he is for an instant, right? He comes forward. Every camera is like zoomed in on his face, right? So within nanoseconds, it is blasting on your phone who he is, because they're doing facial recognition technology, right? And they're instantly saying, it's Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost from Chicago. And they're zapping at you. So it's coming through on your phone, and you're seeing it and watching it and seeing this man, and it's taking you, just your brain doesn't accept it. Like, he's an American. They elected an American from the United States. And it's just, you can't believe it, because most people expected it to be anybody but from the United States. Yeah. And then he comes out and he starts speaking. I thought it was Latin, but I think it went from Latin to Italian. And you're like, this guy's really an American? I mean, because it was fluent. And you're looking at his face and you're just seeing this person who is in the most extraordinary moments that the world has, when he has become the leader of this great religion of all these people. Words just don't do it justice to see his face, how he's taking it in. And it's almost like he couldn't believe it, but there he is. And the people are just going wild, just wild.
Wow. And so then once you guys registered, oh, it's an American, what was the sentiment like on the ground?
So, I mean, honestly, it was not overwhelming. So you could sense in the crowd that there was definitely a roar when he came to the balcony, and then it kind of came down a bit. And I think it was as people understood that this was a person from the United States. It definitely muted the reaction. It was, you could tell.
So you think there was disappointment?
Yeah, I do. I think there was disappointment and uncertainty with this, and surprise. I mean, because nobody expected a person from the United States really to be elected Pope. Then it comes out, you know, that he's from Chicago. And so we had been working very closely with the reporter team from Chicago, Liz Nagy from WLS. We instantaneously were like, okay, so we got to ask, like, not only are you Americans, but like, are you from Chicago? Because we wanted, because now they've got hometown pride. You know, this person from Chicago, he was on the south side of Chicago. We instantly were in overdrive at that point. I had a laptop on a riser, and I had my keyboard set up, but it was like my back to the, like, the crowd. It was like I was standing over it, hunched over, just like, da, 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 da.
And you were writing the pieces.
Writing a piece, yeah.
And then you had your iPad that was showing you what was on the screens at the station, right?
Right. We were able to set up a Wi-Fi signal so that I could tap into my work computer back home in New York and able to see video and everything and hear sound. But really, it was just kind of like you're in this open air, you know, like I'm on a set of risers with people going live, like all around me, and I'm just trying to listen and type away and just keep my thoughts. But it was like a race against the clock because we're on deadline. I've never written so fast in my life, you know? Yeah, it was a rush. It was definitely a rush.
Wow.
What we found out was the next day was that the American Cardinals were going to hold a news conference back at that college that we had done the first day. So Cardinal Dolan, Cardinal Tobin from Newark, amongst this group, they were going to speak. So we had to talk to them because they were just coming from the conclave. And now one of their own was the Pope. So it was super exciting, but we had to get their reaction. But that meant we were up at our location That meant that we had to go live from there, do the run of morning shows, break down, grab all of our equipment, sling it over our shoulders and haul it over to a car, race off to the college, set up again. So between 10 and 11, they came out and spoke. And I knew that just online, our noon show is coming. So I was like, okay, we got to turn around sound that quickly. But then right after the news conference, Cardinal Dolan made himself available. So we had like one-on-one with Cardinal Dolan again. So then that happened even later, pushing our deadline. I was just scrambled to get on for noon. And we're like, everything was fast and furious. And the emails are going on my phone. I was like,
and you were the top story.
Top story. Yeah. We've never turned around stuff like that, but like communicating with our producers and writers back in New York and just trying to organize everything to make it look seamless. We're at the top of the new newscast, which it did. It looked great. Very interesting news conference with these Cardinals because they took us inside the conclave and they couldn't reveal everything, but we had never heard that perspective and just what it was like in terms of, you know, they talked about everybody kind of went in with a kind of an idea of who they wanted, but they knew that they had to reach a consensus. And these were people from around the world. They only had days to get to know each other. They only had days to figure out where each person was at and could they sway votes and could they advocate on somebody's behalf. And they had language barriers. You know, they had personality barriers. I mean, lots of things, they just all coming in at once. I mean, yes, they had a common cause, so that was great, and a common theology, but all walks of life and different people. Mm-hmm. And to come in together into this moment and to reach a consensus, it's no small feat. But Cardinal Tobin was telling us it was the little breaks, like when people would go to coffee, they would kind of like, hey, so, you know, what do you think of this guy? Oh, I kind of like him. Yeah, well, maybe you should. Maybe we'll consider this person. It was these little gatherings that they had in between the voting that's when they really kind of made their decisions and to come to the consensus.
Fascinating. So it sounds just like the movie.
It is just like, in that part, it is just like the movie, that they really talk to each other and they really, like lunch was when they broke for lunch, like that was not just about eating. That was a lot about kind of schmoozing and wheeling. And the other thing, Aransas, that was really cool, when they came on stage, these are men who are elevated, right? They're the cardinals, the leaders of their church. And this awesome responsibility that they took on to choose their next leader. And they came across really down to earth guys and relieved that this awesome wait was over and that they had made this decision. And you could sense this kind of like, oh man, was that something? And some of them were like, I would not want to do that again. That was hopefully my last conflict. One of them said, Viva la Papa, you know, long live the Pope, because I do not want to do this again in my lifetime. Yeah. But just extraordinary how down to earth they could be. That they could be guys, seriously, that you could be having a beer with in a bar at that point. And yet they had just performed this incredible traditional ritual and elected this new leader.
How beautiful. So if you were producing this episode, what would you say we needed to make sure we got across?
I would say, just as somebody who is not Catholic, I certainly gained a huge appreciation for the religion, to be able to behold that, to be a part of it. And I don't think that that's a feeling that anybody could really take lightly, like the fact that it kind of, you get caught up in it and you appreciate it. It was really amazing to behold. The fact that this is a tradition that's been going on for centuries and they still pretty much do the same thing. And that was really amazing to see history unfolding right in front of you. Truly, truly amazing.
I'm so happy you got to be there. We can't really have a conversation about Italy without you talking about food for at least 1 minute. So what was the best thing you ate?
We did get one day where we got to run through Rome with no responsibilities. So I made sure I had a great cannoli. And in the spirit of my daughters, I had gelato.
They were shocked you limited yourself to one gelato one day since they were on a 3 gelato a day diet while we were there.
We were able to have like a crew, Joe Torres, Brian and I, and Joe's wife, Fran, we were able to have a nice Italian meal, some amazing pasta, and some great desserts and some nice wine. I mean, so we did get some food in the end. I would Amazing. Definitely want to go back to enjoy more food.
Yeah, I'll be with you this time.
Thank goodness.
I'm so proud of you, honey. I'm so glad that you got to have this experience and so grateful that you shared it with all of us. It's, as you said, it's just such a historic occasion and it's so exciting and special to get to hear it firsthand from you. And we're really glad you're back. We missed you.
I'm glad to be back. I mean, it was amazing to be that, you know, close up and be a part of history, but glad to be back with you guys. I missed you all so much. And just really every time I was like, oh, I really wish you all could have been there with me. Because I think you would have all gotten just as much out of it as I did. And to take in Rome, it would have been so much more incredible to have you all there with me, of course.
I hope you'll come back on the Uplifters podcast too. And next time we'll talk about all the other beautiful things you do in life beyond your work. I always felt like there was going to be an Andy Savas episode of the Uplifters podcast. Yeah. I just didn't know it was going to be this one first.
Right. Yeah. I would be happy to come back anytime you want me as a guest.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you too.
Thank you for listening to the Uplifters podcast. If you're getting a boost from these episodes, please share them with the Uplifters in your life and then join us in conversation over at theuplifterspodcast.com. Head over to Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast and like, follow, and rate our show. It'll really help us connect with more Uplifters and it'll ensure you never miss one of these beautiful stories. Mwah! Big love.
Painted water sunshine with rosemary and thyme. Dwell in the perplexing, though you find it vexing. Toss a star and hover, be your own best lover. Relish in a new prime, plant a tree in springtime. Dance with idle hindsight, bring the sun to twilight. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up.
Right, in the pre-chorus, right?
Uh-huh. I was like... Mommy, stop crying. Mommy, stop crying. You're disturbing the peace.